Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Sheer Ducks Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Courage-Cole. This week I'm joined by Heather Steele, Lou Huff and Georgina Bresky. Good morning, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
It's hot this morning. I'm sitting in my spare room, which hasn't got a fan, and I was like, shall I bring the fan in? And then I thought that I'd get in trouble for the noise from Maria, one of our editors. So I'm sitting here with the window shut. It's absolutely boiling. Heather, you're nodding.
Yeah,
how's
it's
Brighton?
Hot. It's all right today, probably because it's still quite early. But yeah, it's been very humid all weekend. I mean, I'm not surprised there are thunderstorms sort of forecast because it does feel like it's going to break at some stage. It's very hot.
It's getting further and further away, though, isn't it? It was going to be like Monday, Tuesday, and now it's not going to break till Thursday. So
yeah.
Lou, you're looking quite warm this morning. You're glowing.
Yeah, I'm in Bristol today and it's actually not that hot here. We spent the weekend in Cornwall and was actually very happy with the 22 degree forecast.
Oh, I know.
So yeah, it wasn't quite so hot and muggy as I know it was in London.
I know.
So yeah, feeling pretty chuffed.
As my dad always says, he's like, we're never bloody happy unless it's rain and raining. So let's just accept it. I think I've said this before, but as you know, we've recently redone our house and we put a fan, thanks to my girlfriend, like I've said, on the ceiling. And she was the one who made me do it. And oh my God, last night I was so grateful for it. So if anyone is doing any work to their house in the next whenever, put a fan on your ceiling, get a wafer. They're really not very expensive, but God, they make all the difference. Georgina, you're in London. Are you melting?
I'm absolutely melting. It is so hot. I can't believe it. It feels like the air doesn't move. It just, once it gets to about 10 o'clock, it's just, oh,
yeah,
too much.
I feel like I say this every year when I do a podcast when it's a heat wave, but like cool, wet hand towel on your feet at night when you go to bed. It's my top tip. Anyway, we don't want to cover all those tips for staying cool tonight because we've been there, done that a million times. I will just say that I'm eating a really cold cherry. I'm
Ooh,
eating
nice.
Cold cherries this morning. And someone emailed me, Lou, with great excitement yesterday saying, it's candy floss grape season. It's arrived. Have you bought any? And I thought of you.
A friend and I were like very in on the candy floss grape. And she sent me a new one recently, which is a mango grape. So I need to try that one.
Now you can now get a mango lime or something.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Lime melon.
We had those in food news. Yes.
They were in food news. Exactly. Lou, how were your days in Cornwall? You had a lovely time.
Oh, I just had the most heavenly time. We stopped off at the Pig in Coombe in Devon on the way down because London to Cornwall is a pretty long journey.
Yeah.
So we stopped at the Pig, which was really, really lovely. And then we went down to Port Scatho, which is South Cornwall. And I saw my brother and my niece, who I haven't seen in 8 months, to celebrate my niece's first birthday, which was so special. So yeah, we had a really lovely time.
And you hadn't seen her for ages, had you?
Haven't seen her in so long, and she's grown so much.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of friends are sort of starting to have babies, but there's something about seeing your own family that it's the first sort of baby in our family, so she's going to be very spoiled with attention.
I also think being an aunt or an uncle is like the best.
Yeah,
it's just it like is. The best of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're nodding, Heather. Have you got nieces and nephews?
Similar to Lou, my sister's got a 19-month-old, but I haven't seen him since Christmas. So I'm feeling really sad, like kind of watching him grow up on FaceTime and not actually getting to see him. It's sad, but hopefully see him soon.
So Port Scatho, is that near St Mawes?
Yes, like 10 minutes from St Mawes.
We went there a couple of years ago. My family have I call it a house. It's more like a shed at Harlan Bay. So everyone's a bit panicked now that the Pig is just over there. Because my whole family has gone. My grandparents bought a house in Harlan Bay. I say a house, a shack. I'm not being as either. Like, I mean, there's just about enough hot water for one bath in the evening. And if you're with my mum, she's shotgunned it. So, you know, you've literally got to get your feet in. Yeah, so my family have been going to Holland Bay since my mum was 12. So everyone's getting really worried now that it's going to just be so rammed because of the pig. But yeah, I've always been to North Cornwall, and we went to Port's Cathay a couple of years ago, and it's so lovely.
Oh my God, it was so lovely. It's really like a sort of a little fishing village, I guess. St Mawes is so beautiful. We stopped by there on the day on Friday. There's obviously incredible Hotel Trisanton, which is just glorious. But yeah, it wasn't that busy at all. We went out kayaking, we went swimming, we went jumping off the cliffs and crabbing. And it was just like a proper family Cornish holiday.
So nice.
Georgina, how was your holiday? How was your road trip?
The road trip was great, except my husband a week ago sprained, possibly broke his ankle. So I ended up driving home, which is a really long way from south of France on your own. So I'm quite over long distance driving for a while. But it was so lovely. I mean, when you get the heat, but you're not stuck in the city, obviously it's just great. And we were by the lake in Annecy, which was so much more beautiful than I could have imagined. And then we went up to the mountains and kind of took cable cars and had sort of Sound of Music moments walking across the Alps.
Yes.
It was so lovely.
Oh, we did the same. It's really lovely, isn't it? Were you shocked like me at the mask culture there compared to here?
I was when I got home. So last night on the way driving back into London, we stopped to pick up some kind of basic groceries, and half the people in the shop weren't wearing masks. And I was really, really surprised, because where we were in France, everyone was wearing masks, even walking around towns actually in the heat.
Same with
people
us.
Still had masks on.
Yeah.
And in outdoor restaurants, some people wore them, some people didn't, but in a shop, absolutely
you're not allowed
everyone.
In.
Yeah, you weren't allowed in. Whereas here, I was just really shocked. Yeah. So it's really changed my own thinking that I will always have a mask in my pocket and put it on every time I go in anywhere.
I was really, really, really shocked. Well, I'm glad you had a lovely time. Well, it's funny how you go away and you just get back to life and like any benefit of a holiday. My husband and I were saying yesterday, all the benefit of a holiday is in like the planning, isn't it? And then probably the minute you get home and have to unpack and put a washer on, like it's just gone. I mean, that is it. The moment you're back, it's sort of downhill. Heather, have you been away?
No, I haven't. But I mean, I have got the beach 5 minutes away at the moment in Brighton. So I can't complain too much. I've been going for regular dips after work at about 7:30. So it's still really hot and it's quite empty. So that feels like a nice little treat to do. Yeah, it's a good thing.
I was on a call to Maya this morning and she was saying that she had to get out of London this weekend, so they went to Brighton. And she was like, don't believe everything you see in the papers, and it is not as rammed as it looks, and you are not sitting on somebody's lap. And
no, actually, not at all. And because I'm at the other end of the beach from perhaps where the tourists would head, and it, you know, it's busy because it's August and it's hot, but there's plenty of room for everyone. But I think it was last weekend we were there and nice weather, and we saw these sort of BBC News helicopters flying above us, and we were like, you just know they're heading to the pier on purpose to try and get those all important Brighton beaches packed shots.
Totally.
From anything I've seen, it's busy, but there's at least sort of 10 meters between everyone, so I don't feel unsafe at all.
I need to do a road trip. I think I'm going to do a West Wittering or an East Wittering road trip. On the subject of being outside and staycationing, I was reading an article in The Guardian this morning that was saying that parks have saved our summer, and it got me thinking about our local park. But I think there was something true in the article. I feel like you walk through the park, and I was walking through the park with my mum on Sunday, and there were just all these like gazebos up, and she was like, oh, you're allowed to do that. And people had massive, massive sort of helium balloons with 40 happy 40ths and things like that. And I was like, my God, for our parks. I know the rubbish has become like a real problem, but someone was telling me how local residents are like taking to the parks to kind of stop the councils from having to get really cross over the residents. And I just thought it was a really nice article. It made me really grateful for all our parks.
Yeah.
You're so right. I've seen so many kind of celebrations or parties and picnics where people have sort of decorated the trees with bunting and things like that. And I think it's such a nice thing to do.
Georgina, have you headed to the park lots with your children?
Yeah, we've been in the park loads. And obviously with a dog, I'm there daily anyway. And I feel that the park for me has been an incredible place to bump into people sporadically without having to make any plans. And what's so nice is when you're all just feeling a bit cooped up or you've had a quite intense day with the family, that you can just step out. And most of the time someone bumps into somebody they know and it's just a kind of release, really, I think. But I'm not far from you, Georgie, and I have seen the big, you know, all the big groups that are meeting there and police presence at times. Yeah. And I just think, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because lots part of people of don't lovely. Have outdoor space and they need somewhere to go.
Part of it is lovely, but part of it is a bit worrying as well. Mm. I walked through the park with my nearly 10-year-old, and she's sort of so in awe of all these 17-year-olds with their little crop tops and their shorts. And she's like, oh, they're smoking, mummy. And, and there are these girls like scream. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. They were in the woods and they were singing to some song at kind of 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So loud. I mean, they were obviously so pissed and it was only like 2 o'clock. My children are just like, why are they singing so loud? And why are they... They're so kind of fascinated and impressionable. And so in some ways I'm like, oh God, don't look at everything that's going around. In other ways I'm like, oh, that's really lovely. Someone's having a birthday party over there. And so you're kind of seeing a bit of everything going on and lots of stuff that shouldn't be going on anyway. But I do feel very grateful for our parks. Well, we're going to change the topic and talk about what we've been watching. Are you watching anything? Is TV off? Or are you like, this is what I want to do, stay inside and be cool? Has anyone been watching, listening, reading anything? Well, last time I was on the podcast, I forgot the TV chat. I love the TV chat. And actually, before I ask you what you've been watching, can I just say big respect to Max Verstappen, who won at Silverstone yesterday. So it's like they're doing two Grand Prix or something instead of one because of lockdown. Does anyone, I don't quite follow. Has he won the British Grand Prix or has he won the other one? Because didn't Lewis Hamilton win the British Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago and now there's been another one at Silverstone?
There's a 70th anniversary one yesterday, which he won, which was amazing.
But it wasn't the Grand Prix?
No, that was Hamilton the week before.
Anyway, my husband's like, God, you're such a petrolhead now that you've watched Drive to Survive. I know that we've all watched it and it's so bloody good. I was a big supporter of Red Bull by the end. I don't know about you guys.
Mainly because Jerry's involved.
I know. I don't know why.
I think it's just nice to see someone else win. I was actually speaking to my brother about this because he works for the FIA and he was saying it's so nice to just see somebody else win for a change because it's always Hamilton.
Yeah, totally. So agree. I don't know why I was so excited. I think that's what it is, isn't it? And... yeah, possibly that I got a bit fascinated by Jerry and Christian Horner. I don't know why. It's not like he's like super hot or anything, but I was kind of fascinated. Also, they were the first people in the opening of the first series, obviously the first people that we saw. And anyway, I thought that was good news. What else have you all been watching? I know Charlotte touched on Murdoch last week, so we won't dwell on that one other than it is so good. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, hooked.
Also fascinated by him and Jerry Hall.
Yeah, big time. I want to know more. Yet.
And also by Wendy. She got more beautiful, didn't she? And that, oh, that's about Blair. And, oh, I don't know. Like, it's just shocking at how powerful he is. And God, it was amazing, amazing, amazing. And someone was telling me about this other series that I've got to watch that's about that absolute vile guy from Fox News. What's his name?
Roger Ailes. Yeah, that's with Russell Crowe and Sienna Miller.
Oh, yes.
It's called The Loudest Voice. Finished it last month, having watched Bombshell, which is also about the same event. And, oh my God, it's brilliant. Sienna Miller plays his wife, who is completely clueless about the events surrounding him and the accusations that are made and is loyal to the end. And she has so much prosthetic makeup on that you just can barely recognise her at all. But she's so good. And Russell Crowe as well, he just becomes sort of bigger and larger and more loathsome as the series goes on.
He's good at his parts, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. It's like watching a kind of toad on screen. He's brilliant. He's so good.
And
really,
is that a film
it.
Or a series?
So that is a series, and that's, I think, 6 parts. And it was on Sky Atlantic. It's HBO, I think. So you can get it on Amazon. But I think you might have to pay. Okay. But Bombshell is the movie. And that's with Margot Robbie, Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman. And yeah, that's just a movie.
That has been top of my watch list for so blooming long. And I'm dying to watch it. I've also just started watching The Morning Show. Has anyone watched that?
Oh, I really want to see that.
I watched a few of them when it first came out. And I know, I just found it a little bit slow. I know everyone said it's really, really good, but I don't know. I think I watched two and I was just I don't know, I couldn't get into it, so I kind of stopped watching it.
I'm sort of with you, Lou. Someone said stick with it.
Mm.
It gets really good. But I find the trouble with some of these series is they're just so strung out. So something that's like 3, 4, 6 parts just so appeals to me. But you know when you're watching something like that, they're kind of stringing out the series so that there can be another one. But
yeah.
I also read something that said, was analysing Jennifer Aniston's role in that. Didn't she just get nominated for an Emmy, or she won an Emmy or something? And Reese Witherspoon wasn't. And they said, did Friends rob us of one of the greatest dramatic actresses of, you know, our generation? Because she's really good in it, I have to say. So if you're a Jennifer Aniston fan, I would say it's one to watch. But I think I'm with you. I'm finding it a little bit slow. What's what I loved about Murdoch? It's 3 and you're done. It was news to me, but Dirty John Series 2, Hello, is coming out. Did you all know that? Has everyone watched Dirty John?
I haven't watched Series 1, actually.
Did you not?
Is that something I need to watch?
Oh, my God. One of the best things. Like, honestly, it's just so excellent. Here we go. When will it be released?
Oh, yeah, 14th of August, it's saying, online.
I don't know how, because it's a true story about a gold digger, and it is so good. Georgina, watch it. It's brilliant, honestly. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
It was Eric Banner, and it's amazing. Renewed for a second season, the series, which is based on a true story, has fans gripped, wondering how it would end back in season one. Now, 2 years on, it's back with a new storyline. So I wonder if Series 2 is fictional. Oh, and I think it's got...
Christian Slater's in it.
Thank you, Christian Slater in it. Anyway, I will be watching that as of Friday night, I can tell you. Any other tips on what to watch from you guys?
I haven't really been watching anything because we've been away, although we've just started Modern Family. I know I'm about 15 years behind everybody, but I have to say it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV. I don't know if anyone else has watched it, but if you never have and you just want to get into something, it's brilliant. But on the way, on my very long drive back from France, I listened to Ruby Wax on an Audible original called No Brainer.
Oh, and so good.
She is phenomenal. I just love her. She's so candid about her own mental health experiences, and then the fact that to work herself out, she just took herself off and did a master's at Oxford. I just am so in awe of her, and she's written so many books now. Well, I say so many, probably 3 or 4 really big kind of explorations into mental health, and this one, and what I love about the Audible editions that she does is it's her talking, interviewing people, so you feel like it's a podcast. So this one's a couple of years old, but it's just brilliant, and it's No Brainer, and it goes into all different aspects of the brain and the brain development, what happens to your brain and how that influences everything from like physical health, obviously mental health, how the brain evolves. It's so interesting. So
she's basically had a complete transformation, hasn't she? I mean, she's totally unrecognizable from the kind of comedian that we think of her as.
And her enthusiasm is completely infectious. She meets the kind of heroes that she's studied or worked alongside, and you just hear this passion. I think when anyone has true passion for a topic, it's infectious. So she's brilliant. So that's a really good one if you want something.
I don't know if it's the same series, Regina. I'm not sure that it is, but I remember listening to her on a podcast talking about the digital world and social media and the next generation. And I think we talked about it on this podcast before, but where she says, we've got to stop making it this dirty word and this evil and kind of embrace it and accept that we're bringing children up into a world where digital media and technology is just part of life, and we've kind of got to embrace it and not make it such an evil, make it a positive, and stop trying to push them away from it. And I just thought that was a really interesting way to approach something. Obviously, it can be hugely dangerous, but it is also the world that they're in, and it's not going anywhere. So perhaps we don't always approach it in the right way. I think she's amazing. I'm with you. I would definitely urge people to listen to her. We also wrote a feature on 13 podcasts to listen to this month. And they included things like Michelle Obama, which I spoke about on the show a couple of weeks ago and I think was touched on last week. I enjoyed it. I preferred her book, probably. But there was also Pandora Sykes's new podcast, one with Pixie Lott. I listened to an episode of Pixie Lott and Coco Rocha. Like, what year in your life was the most
I love the sound of that podcast. I think there's a real like podcast shaped hole in my life at the moment. I think with the lack of commuting, never quite sure when I can fit listening to a podcast in. I guess it's when you sort of go for a walk, but it's almost quite nice to just have a bit of like quiet time or just, you know, chat with a friend or whatever. So I'm really missing my podcast and going through this list, that Stories of 29, which is Pixie Lott's, I thought sounded sounded so good. And also the secrets of a side hustle. I thought that sounded fascinating as well. So I'm going to pick up my podcast love again.
Yeah, I think you'll like Secrets of a Side Hustle. And what else have I listened to? Oh, Sophie Ellis Bextor's new one. Quite like her voice, Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Oh, she's got such a good voice.
I like her.
It's that very sort of managing as a mother, sleep deprivation kind of chat, which I think when you're at that stage, is so nice to hear that other people are going through it. I think kind of having been there, I'm sort of a bit over that. But equally, it's a really nice listen and she's got a really good voice. Are there any others on the list that people have listened to?
I haven't listened to the Screenster podcast, but this is definitely up my street. So it takes a closer look at film and TV through the lens of industry insiders. So it's got the lady who designed the costumes for Friends during its 10-year run talking about how she did that. And then there's also the intimacy coordinator who worked on Normal People and I May Destroy You, who are two series I really liked recently. So yeah, I think I'm definitely going to give that one a listen and just listen to their jobs. Yeah.
What's that called, Heather?
It's called the Screenster Podcast and it's, yeah, Georgie Greer. She's an actress and she's the one who's hosting it. And yeah, it's an under the bonnet look at the industry.
That sounds so interesting.
Sounds really up my street.
I have also heard that Painkiller is absolutely brilliant. I recommended this one actually to go on the list via my sister-in-law who loves the podcast. And if you've been around the last few years, then you'll know that the opioid crisis is sort of so huge and out of control in the US. And this tackles, it's fentanyl, is that how you call it?
Yeah, fentanyl, yeah.
And anyway, apparently it's a painkiller, basically, that is again, out of control. And this is a new series that's on Spotify. Spotify are really upping the ante, aren't they, with Michelle Obama and this. And so I think if you like that kind of investigative journalism delivered through a podcast and not just interviews, this you'll be kind of gripped by this one. So it's called Painkiller, so check that one out. Anything we've missed in terms of media, books, what are people reading? Anything you can recommend book-wise at the moment?
At the moment, I'm almost finished Find Me, which is the follow-up to Call Me By Your Name, the book for Call Me By Your Name came out sort of 12 years ago, but obviously it came out as a film 3 years ago with Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer in, and that's when lots of people discovered this amazing love story. And yeah, the follow-up book came out last summer, so I finally got around to reading it over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, it's his writing, Andre Ackerman, is just brilliant. And it's, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it, sort of seeing what the characters are up to sort of 6 years later in their new lives.
I love that concept of when you know that there's a book and you're so invested in the characters and then you can just skip forward and be like, oh, what happened to them? I guess I'm disappointed sometimes when you get to the end.
But also, yeah, the first third of the book focuses on Elio's dad, who's obviously in the first book, but very much a sort of minor figure. So it was then really fascinating to hear stories in his voice. Like, okay. So yeah, it was, I'd really recommend that.
How does it compare to the first? I feel like that second one, it kind of loses its momentum.
I think it's still a lovely story, but I think you just, when it is a love story, I think you just are so invested in the two central characters and the will they, won't they. So I think, yeah, obviously it's not the same magic, but it's still very beautiful.
Had you read the first one pre-seeing the film?
No, I hadn't actually. So I read the book after watching it. And they're different, actually. They've got different endings, but they stand up as sort of standalone things. But if you haven't seen the film, definitely watch it, especially because it's set in Italy and it's just gorgeous.
Honestly,
if you need a bit of wanderlust, yeah, it makes me just want to go dive in a pool and just sort of, yeah, read books by the sea. And
it's gorgeous. God.
It's a beautiful book.
Cycle to the lake and get a little...
Yeah, I hope they live happily ever after. That I just get really upset if that's not how the ending is.
Don't watch it then, Georgie.
No spoilers, please. I watched Princess Diaries 2, which I said the other day I loved it because
I was on the phone to Georgie and she was like, I'm so sorry, I've got to go, I need to watch Princess Diaries 2.
I promised Coco that we would finish it, and anyway, it picks up several years later and it's brilliant. Georgina, what are you reading? You've always got good book recommendations.
Yeah, I'm reading a book that I am so enjoying because the last couple of books I've read haven't been that engaging for me. So it's called Where the Crawdads Sing.
Ooh,
and yeah, it was a New York Times bestseller in 2018. And it's by Delia Owens and it's set in North Carolina in America. It's about a girl who's from a family that have all sort of deserted her, and she grows up on the marshes. I think she's left on her own from when she's about 8 years old to fend for herself. And it's really about her life and how she is so at one with nature and all the wildlife there, and how she tries to interact with humans, but she's obviously just been left her whole life time and again by parents and siblings. And then there's a mystery murder suddenly that happens and she's involved, and I haven't finished it yet and I've got about 10% to go, and oh my god, I'm just hoping for a happy ending because I can't bear it otherwise. She's this character's had so much hardship, but it's so beautifully written. And I think because she's living in this isolation, it's quite interesting, obviously, in the context of what we're emerging from, and just how she copes and her little ways of getting through each day. And it's so beautiful. I think it was the first book that Delia Owens has written. So I'm definitely going to be seeing if she's got any others that have come out since.
Heather, you sort of gave a knowing nod when Georgina mentioned that. Have you read it?
I haven't. It's on my list, but it's just one that everyone's reading and talking about. It's one of the books of the summer, I'd say. So yeah, I was interested that you'd read it, because I think it's on Becky and Charlotte's to read list as well.
Do you read on a Kindle or do you read a book?
I read books.
I'm finding like loyalty to a book or stickiness or whatever you want to call it really hard with a Kindle at the moment. I feel like it's so much easier. Before I just could never, ever not finish a book. However crap it was, I had to follow through. Whereas I feel like when something's on a Kindle, I don't have that like commitment so much, I guess, because maybe I didn't buy it. Well, you do buy it, but you don't spend as much. So I'm feeling like, oh, I'm really lacking a commitment to finish something. I'm reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Have you all read that? Everyone's read that, haven't they?
Yeah, I read that.
I'm a bit disappointed with that.
When a book's been around for a while and it's been so hyped up, it's kind of hard for it to live up to your expectations sometimes.
Yeah. I think in my 20s, I went through a period where I was sort of so fascinated by prisoner of war camps and, you know, how the Jews were treated in the Second World War. I've read loads of books. I sort of feel like I've sort of read it all before. And as you say, it was so hyped up. And maybe, I feel like I need to go back to a paperback. I always thought I never would, but
I'd have thought that a Kindle, because it tells you how much is left, it kind of adds an element of a challenge there. So it might make me want to finish them because I'm like, oh, I've only got 20% left, but maybe not. Yeah. I've not used one before.
Well, it tells you things like time left in chapter, 5 minutes. So like when I try and beat the sat nav, I try and beat the Kindle. So I'm like, I'm doing it all. Or I'll say to the kids, okay, I'm going to make lunch in 4 minutes. I've just got to finish my chapter. And I quite like knowing how long it's going to take me. But maybe that's overmanaging my time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, we're going to change this topic to something a bit more active to do with your free time, like working out. We're talking about working out your core. Tor wrote a piece on some of the best online ab workouts out there, on YouTube to be precise. Is this something that anyone gets involved in? Do you do ab workouts? If you do, where do you find them? Are you into abs?
I wouldn't say I'm into like a specific type of exercise. When I work out, I kind of want to focus on the whole body rather than just kind of zone in on one particular area. So this probably wouldn't be for me, but I'm definitely keen to try some more of Kayla's workouts. So I know we've done a couple of Instagram series with her, and she just has the most incredible body. So I definitely want to try a few more targeting, because I think sometimes when I work out, it takes me an hour, 45 minutes, and I just don't have that time. So I think it's good to just be like, right, I've got to do a quick 20 minutes, 20 minute arm, 20 minute bum, you know, 20 minute ab, whatever. So I think I probably need to retrain myself to do this, because maybe this is going to be a bit more effective.
Yeah. Well, two things I have to say on that. One, we're doing a success stories with Kayla, which is really
amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I think that's coming up in a few weeks' time. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing her journey, because she really is just, you know, the queen. And I have to give a shout out to Mad Fit as well as Kayla. This is one that I really use. And I mean, it's massive. It's got more than a million followers on Instagram. But I mean, she's called Maddie, she's Canadian, and she's kind of like the queen of mini YouTube workout videos, I think. And the great thing about her is you can do a 10 minute, you can do a 3 minute, you can do a 20 minute. There's like really something for everyone. So I would say if you want little, you know, bite size workouts, then it's a really, really good one. She also does quite fun workouts to like really current songs. So she'll take like, I don't know, a Dua Lipa song or something and do a 4 minute routine to that song, which if it's a really good song, you can keep going, can't you?
So I've got to say, music really makes or breaks a routine for me. Sometimes I hate it when A, they don't have music playing, so you kind of have to play your own. It's not quite to the same beat. Or if it's just a rubbish song and you're like, okay, I'm not really into this. So a good one really makes it for me.
You need to get onto it. She's got Calvin Harris, Lady Gaga. I mean, you got to get onto nice. That fit. Heather.
Yeah, I always have my YouTube videos on mute and just put my own thing on, because I know what works for me. So yeah, it doesn't always match up, but I'd much rather, like you say, like I can't really work out without music. I need something to
keep me going.
Yeah, so
yeah, my mum swears, but there's a Madonna arms routine that she does, but she swears by.
See, I know I'm laughing. Your mum's so cute. I just love to can't see your mum doing it.
She can do the 2 minute plank, Georgie. So yeah,
can she?
Yep, she's very good.
I keep thinking about my plank off with May. I think, shit, I haven't been practicing enough. We've got a little shoot him soon. He's going to be like, come on. In fact, he's coming on the show next week. He's going to be like planking me on the show. So
that's cool.
Gotta get. No, we're not doing that. I was joking. But he is coming on the show next week. Georgina, are you into ab workouts?
Generally, no. But I did do one called Meet Me at the Bar when I was on holiday, which was abs and arms, because I like doing bar core, and it was half an hour. So I definitely did feel it in my arms and my abs afterwards. And it's quite nice. So I think when you do something so targeted, you really feel it in that area. So the next day even, I woke up and I was like, oh, my stomach, my God, I've really worked those muscles.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's proper reward. Whereas if you do something more full body, you don't always get that very specific ache. I quite like to ache after workout the next day, then I know that I've really done something.
Me too. I love that when you've been squatting and you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, I can really feel that. I'm like, yeah.
When we were in Cornwall, actually, we went out on the kayaks on Sunday morning, and I really felt that then in my arms and like the top of my abs. So that was sort of my workout for the weekend.
Yeah, actually, I went out on a paddleboard when I was on holiday, and again, that is a really good. It's just such a lovely way to work out, because you're tanning, you're looking around, and yeah, you're trying to hold your core because it's bumpy or wavy. And yeah, definitely that would be a hobby for the future.
Because I've not been paddleboarding. We wrote a feature on paddleboarding on SL Man. I think it was out last Thursday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was all about paddleboarding and how it's just booming right now, and basically what to know and where to buy one and where to go, etc. And it was a great feature. And it came up in conversation with some friends at the weekend. They were like, oh, God, we're all over paddleboarding. We're mad about it. And we've just bought one and blah, blah, blah. Have you all done it? Am I the only person who hasn't paddleboarded?
I've done it in Mexico, actually. And yeah, it's just amazing feeling. But I think it looks easier than it is.
No, but it's core, like.
Yeah, exactly. Really serious core.
Yeah.
And you can sort of kneel on the paddleboard, and that gives you a slightly different center of gravity. So then the way that you're working your body does feel really different to if you stand up. And obviously it depends if it's flat or if it's bumpy. But what is good about it is it's not like windsurfing or kite surfing or something where you've got to learn a technique. Really, it's not that hard. I mean,
yes,
it feels
anyone
hard.
Anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it. You can get inflatable paddle boards. You can rent them, you know, for really not much. And you can even just go and do it down local rivers and reservoirs. It's quite accessible, I think. So
yeah, that's such a good point, though, that you don't need to learn something, because that's just, God, such a bore.
Yeah, it's not about a technique.
Yeah, no, you don't need to get some expensive instructor to take you out. I think. Stick on a life jacket and go.
Well, for more on paddleboarding, get over to slman.com. Well, if anything goes hand in hand with an ab workout, it's got to be a good brunch dish session. Are you all into brunch? I'm not massively into brunch with three children running around. It tends to be three meals a day in our households. I'm going to come to you, Heather. Are you a bruncher? You live in Brighton. You've got to be a bruncher, haven't you?
That's true. I do prefer making it myself, though. I think in normal circumstances, like having everyone round after a biggish night out, that's what I think of with brunch rather than the sort of, you know, Saturday morning sort of going out for it. But yeah, lots of places are reopening for brunch now, which is obviously good because you can do it outside and it's nice and summery. But you know, I think eggs is just the basis for me of a good brunch. I know lots of people like sweet things like sort of granola bowls and, you know, French toast, but for me it's got to be about eggs for brunch.
Just not a big egg person, I'm afraid.
You're not? Oh, I love
don't know eggs. Why? No. So if you're going to cook brunch at home, what are you cooking?
Well, Jamie Oliver's got a really good recipe in his 5 ingredients book, which I know we talk about all the time, but it is because it's really good. But he's got one where, yeah, you make your own naan bread, which is really easy to make. And then, yeah, have poached eggs and lots of chopped up chili and coriander and yogurt with some mango chutney. And it's absolutely delicious. So if I was really going to go for it, that's what I'd make, I think, on a Saturday or Sunday.
Can I say that on the subject of eggs, Heather, I was subbing, I think, your piece for SL Man tomorrow. And it was fascinating hearing their tips on how to poach eggs and how important not only vinegar is, which I didn't know that because my husband likes a poached egg, but also having fresh eggs. I mean, not that I would ever eat an egg that I thought was past its sell-by date. I've got like this really irrational fear of anything past its sell-by date. My husband thinks I'm like ridiculous because if it's past its sell-by date, I will not eat it. He's like,
yeah,
that's
exactly
a guide. That's a guide. You are ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with it. If it's not moldy or it doesn't smell or whatever, I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I mean, I just can't. I go through the cupboards and just throw things away.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Even anything that's getting close, like if we've got two milks in the fridge and one of the milks isn't quite finished, I'll just open the next one because I know it's fresher. So bad.
Oh, I got the milk out to pour one of my children a bowl of cereal yesterday morning and it had the 9th on it and I poured it out and it was literally... I was like, wretch. You're like wretching now even thinking about it. It was so rank. So
gross.
Complete aversion. But... in your piece, Heather, what kept coming out from these two cooks were to get the best poached eggs and various other egg techniques were using really, really, really fresh eggs, which I thought was interesting.
It does make sense. I suppose it just holds together so much better if it's fresh. But no, I hadn't thought of that as being like a really key tip to excellent poached eggs. But there we go.
What's happening to the egg as it just sits there in your fridge?
Gross.
You know...
it's not really worth thinking about too much what eggs actually are.
No, you're quite right. I don't want to ruin everyone's egg heaven. So, Lou, brunch for you.
Love going out for brunch. We've spoken a million times, but the Granger & Co. sweet corn fritters would be like, as soon as I see them on any brunch menu, I'm like, yep, I'll have those. No need to even look at anything else. But at home, if I was cooking, we would
always do... have you ever made one at home? You always talk
about
it. Yes,
yeah. Lewis actually tracked down the recipe for those exact ones. So we often cook them at home. I have a sort of brunch for dinner, which is a really nice treat. But yeah, otherwise, kind of like opposite Heather, I prefer something sweet. So sort of lemon zest pancakes are always a winner in our house and just so easy to make. And then you can sort of fill them with whatever you want. But I love on this feature the look of the spinach, pea and parmesan pancakes. But I would obviously remove the parmesan. They just look absolutely delicious.
They look insane.
I'm really hungry and they look so good right now. Do you know what also looks so good right now is the salmon kedgeree.
Yes, that looks so nice. I really want to make that next time I'm allowed people round properly because that looks so tasty.
Georgina, brunch, what's your approach? Do you do brunch? Your children are a bit older than mine. Are they into brunch?
Yes, my daughter loves poached eggs, actually. We cheat. We've got one of those pans where you just put the egg into the little... it has like four different sections. but they do come out looking a bit like a McDonald's poached egg. They're very sort of molded, but that's okay because you obviously cut it open anyway. But my son doesn't have eggs or dairy, so actually brunch doesn't really lend itself to that particularly well. I have done lots of experimenting with kind of vegan, non-egg pancake type recipes, and they're just a poor substitute for the real thing. And so I'm kind of with you, Georgie. It's breakfast, lunch and dinner. I'm really. Yeah. If I have some time with my husband where the kids aren't around, I would almost rather go out for brunch than dinner, because it would feel like such a treat to have brunch because it's not so something true. We would normally have.
So true. And actually the other day, we sort of, I don't know why, we had a moment in the day where our children were entertained, and I think it was a Friday, and I was like, let's go out for lunch. And he was like, oh my God, I'd love that. And then we never did because I think work got in the way. But yes, it would have been so nice. I need to make that happen. Anyway, I would really, really implore you to go and look at this feature. Heather, this is one of yours. And there was also buttermilk waffles with cured salmon and wasabi cream cheese. Now that is my kind of brunch recipe. Salmon and cream cheese, just epic, epic, epic. Anyway, there were lots of awesome things. It's from a cookbook called Brunch the Sunday Way, which I think also sounds like a really nice present for someone, doesn't it? From brunch to gins. I mean, for me, brunch has got to involve a Bloody Mary, or if I'm going to drink it properly, a red snapper. I think a Bloody Mary is far nicer when it's made with gin than when it's made with vodka. It gives it much more flavour, and in that case it's called a red snapper. I love a Bloody Mary. I'm a keen gin drinker, shall we say. Heather, this is also your piece.
It is, I've been busy.
You've been very busy. What were we doing with that?
Eating and drinking.
Yeah. Someone's got to do it. You put a piece together on 9 gins that taste different. I mean, it would be pointing out the obvious to say that the gin market has exploded in recent years, but even more recently, the flavoured gin market has really exploded. And, you know, we've obviously had the days of Hendrix, etc. But now we're really seeing flavours. I think Sipsmith were one of the first. They did an orange gin, didn't they, a couple of years ago. And now there's kind of no stopping anyone. We've got a Jaffa Cake gin. We've got a grapefruit and pomelo. Chili and lime gin is on the list. Beef Eater Blood Orange. Is this something that you're on board with, Heather, having written this piece?
I am, actually. And actually, you say red snapper, but I reckon that chili and lime Sipsmith gin in a red snapper would be great. I think that would work really nicely. And also, it works really well in a margarita because it's already got the lime in. So you've just got that hit of chili coming through as well. I think that would be good. But I think actually of all of them, there are some really interesting ones on here. But the one I implore people to try is, this Jaffa Cake gin, because genuinely, it tastes like Jaffa Cakes. It's, it's so strange. I'm very impressed with however they've made it, because it's got that spongy taste to it. Yeah, I had it with a tonic, which was, pleasant because it was quite orangey and refreshing. But I know not everyone likes the Negroni, but having that in a Negroni was a game changer. It was excellent. So yeah, I think you should definitely
give it a go
if you're after a present or something.
Gin. I would say on this list is the Mirabeau Rosé gin for me. I mean, we're big Mirabeau fans and love the founders, who are an English couple, Stephen and Jeannie, who we've done a bit with now over the years, but they've been so clever with their brand. And the bottle is so beautiful, and it's got this amazing kind of rosé flavour that can't really specify much more than that, other than it you can really taste it without it being really sweet. It's just sort of elegant and a bit subtly fruity and just so good. Any others anyone wants to shout out on from this list?
I've got to say, I'm not a huge gin fan, but I am a fan of an aesthetically pleasing bottle. So the Port of Leith Lind and Lime gin looks absolutely amazing.
I did think you were going to say that one. Yeah, the bottle's gorgeous. It's tasty. It's nice, that one. It's not too flavoured, as in, OTT and, drinking it because you want something a bit wacky, but no, it's decent. And yeah, like you say, the bottle itself is worth having just for that, to be honest.
It looks lush. Once you finish the gin, I would put some flowers in that.
Exactly.
Georgina, any gins on this list that get your seal of approval?
Oh, I love the Mirabeau as well. Yeah, I always have that in stock. I think it's so nice. And sometimes when you have a gin and tonic, normally you want to put in something like a bit of cucumber or lemon or lime or something. And actually, if you don't have any of those things around, I think that's when a flavoured gin really comes into its own. If you just want you know, a spontaneous gin and tonic, and you don't have all the bits and bobs. And so it still is more than just a normal gin. That's what I like about them.
As you know, I'm a big gin fan. And one of my favourite gins that I've discovered recently, it's not on this list, but I really rate it, is it's called Roku Gin. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
It's Japanese. I've got some. It's lovely.
I don't know why it is so good, but just the flavour in it, I can't really tell you what it tastes of. It's a special combination of botanicals that are sourced in Japan. I can't tell you much more than that, other than if you're into your gins, I'd really urge you to try that one. Mm. I would also really urge people to just try having, you know, even if you buy your bog standard Beefeater gin, just to try putting different things in it. When we were in France, I talked about going to Burgundy. I had gin and tonic with a bit of rosemary in it and a bit of thyme, both of them in there together. And it was just like a completely different drink to drink
that
it with, like
lovely.
Lime or cucumber or something. So it's not just the gin, it's I think what you serve it with.
Didn't someone on the show actually shake a sort of a sprig of rosemary and then wipe it around the top of a drink, yes, actually, to infuse that flavour a little bit further?
They did. Well, remember, I think it's also part of the theatre. I think if you're a mixologist, it's sort of part of your party trick behind the bar, isn't it? Anyway, I think that's a good place to end. Brunch and gin and tonics. I mean, it's 1 o'clock on a Monday, but it's hot. I'm thinking of bracing already. I don't know about you guys. Dangerous, this weather. Thank you, Lou, Heather, Georgina. That's it this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and we will be back soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.